Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show back on the radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're streaming at WKOK.com on our WKOK app, and our show is always available as a podcast. Subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast on the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Google Play. If you do listen to us on Apple, don't hesitate to leave us a review. You can also email the show anytime, Steve Jones at WKOK.com, Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Sean Carey here. Steve in a second in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Oh, yeah. We got that high school roundtable today. We got, which I really look forward to, is that there's one guy that continues to be a holdout.
Guess what? You don't have to worry about that today.
What is that?
Well, I was going to text you about this a couple of hours ago, but you were on your way in to do something else. But, yeah, we got a suit-free roundtable today.
Well, how'd we luck out?
He had a full-time job. Yeah, that kind of got in the way with the roundtable today.
So. See, I think he's negotiating for money.
Well, I said, just make sure you bring back a win, sport. That's all I said. Yeah. I said, I got to eat, and I need gas for the car.
Well, this is the part where you come up with the one-liner and you say, the eating part hasn't been the issue.
that's true.
It's not funny. No, it's great to have everybody on board.
No, I'll throw in some Braves bullet points while we have Pat O'Brien joining us next hour, because we got the big rivalry game tomorrow night with the Seals and Braves.
It's fine. I mean, we'll have it covered from both ends with Pat, which is fine.
We sure will. Steve Williams checking in. Greg Wetzel, too, of course.
Yep. And also today, Sean Elliott, the head football coach at Georgia State, is going to join us. So we do have a full show on tap for you today.
And then, of course, later tonight, 6:05, you will be with Coach Franklin on the weekly Coach's Show on the network.
And Russ Rose is going to be the leadoff guest tonight.
Excellent.
Excellent indeed. I'm looking forward to... I've always enjoyed talking to Russ. I mean, obviously, Russ and I have known each other for a long time, so this is not a level of... unfamiliarity, but the 18th time in Russ's career that his team has started with a 7-0 record, and they finally play at home. They haven't played at home once so far in the season. They have not played at home at all this season until this weekend. They're going to play Yale, which Aaron Appleman, a former assistant, is going to come in as the head coach of Yale. She's been there for a while now. And there'll be a couple more matches on Saturday that will at Wake Forest and Ohio University will lead into the football game. So looking forward to that and getting him on the show. He has changed up. Over the years, Russ has done the traditional 5-1 offense with one setter on the floor, and every once in a while has dangled the idea of having two setters out there. Man, he's used it a couple times here and there. But now he's been going more with two setters on the floor this year, and so far it has worked really well. I'll talk to him about that tonight because I've already beaten Stanford twice this year. Twice. How about that? That is remarkable. They've already beaten Stanford twice this year. That's quite a record he's got rolling for him so far. So Russ will be on the show to start things off tonight, and then it'll be James Franklin after that. And we will get the Georgia State. So we're going to have both coaches on the station today for the game. We have Sean Elliott on from Georgia State. 4:06 looks like the time we're doing that. Correct, Sean?
We can do that.
Yep.
Yep.
And then at 6:05, James Franklin. So both coaches on the station today. And we'll preview all the high school football games. Greg Wetzel, very generous with his time. Talk about Lewisburg. Steve Williams, very generous with his time, talking about Milton. Pat O'Brien, very generous with his time, talking about Sealands Grove. And then the there's no generosity there at all, is there? Isn't that, don't we carry their games?
We do.
Yeah.
For decades.
Where's their guy? You know, last year, in that time slot, would they play 11 games last year in the playoffs?
They did, right.
Yeah. Didn't we get the play-by-play guy 11 for 11 last
year? Every single week. And there was a few of those weeks where MF checked in from out of state.
Boy, I miss Frelazzo. Quality play-by-play with less attitude.
Well, Horty was there to keep him in check. And actually, years ago, they did do football games together on the radio. So, yeah, it was right. Them two of last year's like getting back on the bike.
Right. Just having a little fun here because Kevin's going to go out and take care of some sales meetings today.
He is. He's got a couple big. Yeah, he had a couple big meetings to take care of and a PowerPoint and all that. So, hey, I said we'll be fine. You go crush it. We'll be here. You'll be there. It's all good.
Okay.
That's what I told him.
Well, I hope it goes really, really well.
I do too.
Because in the end, don't we all benefit from his greatness?
I would think
not
so.
Not exactly the confident answer I was hoping for.
Gave me the no-brainer look, but that doesn't work on the radio.
Just because right now I have a lot more confidence in Jamie, but it's all right. But that's what we have coming up in the show today. Indians have won 21 in a row, which is thoroughly, just absolutely remarkable. David Price has come back to the Red Sox. He's off the disabled list. They're going to use him out of the bullpen. Last time he was used out of the bullpen was back in the early days of his career with Tampa Bay, and his use out of the bullpen actually got the Rays to the World Series the year the Phillies won it. And pitched well, by the way, out of the bullpen. As a starter in postseason, he's 0-8 in his career. The bullpen better than that. Speaking of the bullpen, the rich get richer. The Indians have won 21 in a row, and they get Andrew Miller back today. And Rhys Hoskins continues to do remarkable things. 33 games, 17 home runs. Now, if you are a Phillies fan, and of course you listen to the games here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, you now have something legitimate to really root for and be hopeful about.
Yeah, we had upper management there at the game last night. Post on social media, one word, hope.
Lots of hope. And plus Nick Williams. Nick Williams, a good player that they acquired in the Rangers trade for Cole Hamels. Kingery is not there yet. Kingery's what, the third-rated prospect in the Phillies system? Actually, you know, believe it or not, you know where Hoskins is? Seven. He's the seventh best prospect in the system. Kingery's third, Crawford's four. I'm still not totally sold on him yet. And, of course, Mickey Moniak's number one. Well, I've heard so many good things about Mickey Moniak as an all-around player. And he's young. He's only, 19 years old? Adam Haseley he's in the top 10. I think, I want to say Haseley's eight, right? I like Haseley. Haseley's got a real good look to him. He's got a real feel for the game. You can just see.
Well, he's made a great transition from, you know, being on the bump in college, going to the outfield. You know, that... that qualifies of being, you know, pure baseball player in general, wouldn't it?
No question. That's why I look at the McKay kid in the Tampa Bay system with Hudson Valley. Brendan McKay, out of Blackhawk High School in the western part of Pennsylvania near Pittsburgh, went to Louisville, won the John Olerud Award 3 consecutive years for versatility because he is both a pitcher and a hitter. He's been dynamic. Now, the one minus he has is he does not have great speed, so it really limits him at any level to being one of two things, a first baseman or a DH in no other position. That's fine. You can certainly thrive at either one of those at any level. But he also can pitch. And I talked about the 448-foot home run he hit at Medler Field at Loprano Park. It's the longest home run I've ever seen there. But you know what he did two nights ago? He was the starting pitcher in the playoff game against Staten Island with five scoreless innings and pitched his team into the New York Penn League final against Vermont. So he's been... Tampa Bay wants him to do both. I don't know if there's a fork in the road as to whether he has to sit there at some point or they as an organization sit there at a point and say, we're going to make you a hitter or a pitcher. Yeah. But they are encouraging him in that system to do both. The Phillies system, if Roman Quinn can stay healthy, it gives them that jump start at the top of the order you're aching for. Hoskins obviously can play. Williams can obviously play. We'll see about Crawford. Everyone tells me that seeing Kingery play, that he can really play. But they may hold off on him a little bit going into next season because of the contract. Okay, that's great. But they've got something now, and they've got a number one starter in Aaron Nola that doesn't hurt. Now, at some point, they're going to have to get their hands on a guy that's a legit closer. But I think that was texted by upper management last night is accurate. Cope, especially in that division, Sean, because Washington is really, really good. No question. There is nobody else in that division that has distinguished themselves as any kind of threat to Washington. And you don't have to be a threat to Washington in the division. You just need to be a threat to get into the wild card race. And there's nobody in that division that they can't easily jump to get themselves into the wild card race picture. Nobody. There's nobody in that division over 500. So they've got some things working for them in Philadelphia that I think is going to deliver with it some exciting baseball down the road. And I'm glad Hoskins has been able to do this because it has given the fans, wow, I think we may have a legit star here. And you look at Nick Williams, wow, may have a legit star here. While you're still waiting for Michael Franco and others to do it, I think Knapp's not a great defensive catcher, but Knapp has a chance, in my opinion, especially as a switch hitter, to be a good offensive player while still catching. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And the kick is up and the kick is good. They tack on the extra point. Don't forget, Friday night. We've been having fun with that one for a little while with him.
That's Christmas party material. Right?
I'm sure it's on a Thursday night. All right.
That's right. I'll take care of that. I got to talk to Jamie about that. So,
oh, that's with my schedule. It's very hard to pin me down as to what. I mean, you'd have to look at the basketball schedule for even. Although it's usually during finals week that we have the holiday party, so I'm usually pretty free every night. Thursday night.
You did bring up the basketball schedule. Just with looking at all the different, if you haven't had a chance to see it yet, you'll one thing that jumps off just the various tip off times that'll be. You know, I mean, they're all over the map. Well, you gave me a heads up about that a couple of months ago.
So. they play every day of the week, and they're. Okay, I'll just do this without names of teams. I mean, it's just easier just to give you days and times. Okay, these are days and times of the basketball schedule, so days of the week. And you tell me if you can follow this along with the consistency. And it's going to be like this for a while. I mean, I'm telling you, they're going to go to 20 games in this conference. which is perfectly fine. It doesn't bother me. It ups the competition quotient in terms of your schedule. Let's see. So let's try these on for size. All right. Friday at 4 o'clock. Sunday at 5 o'clock. Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Friday at 7 o'clock. Monday at 9 o'clock. Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Friday at 3 o'clock. Wednesday at 7:15. Saturday at 5. Monday at 7. Saturday at 4. Sunday at 3. Tuesday at 7. Friday at 7. Saturday at 2. Tuesday at 7. Friday at 8. Let's see. Tuesday at 6:30. Friday at 7. Monday at 7. Is there any consistency here? Saturday at 2. Thursday at 8. Saturday at 4. Wednesday at 6:30. Saturday at 8. Wednesday at 6:30. Sunday at 7. Thursday at 7. Then come right back Sunday at 8. Wednesday at 7. Sunday at 5:15. Then you go to Madison Square Garden. So, let's see. The week of the holiday party would be what?
Well, we usually have it like the first week of December.
First week of December?
Yeah, that's usually when we have it. Last couple of years, it's been like the first Thursday of December.
Oh, so like it would be like December 7th?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got a home game on Monday with Wisconsin, and I've got a home game Saturday with George Washington. No other games during the week. I'm sure they have a great spot picked out. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Some reason they... Oh, too bad you can't go. Not exactly the attitude I want to hear.
No.
Seems to do it every year. Let's see.
Well, I'm out to change that this year.
Georgia State coach Sean Elliott will join us at 4:06 today. Our high school football roundtable coming up. Great games on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Great, by the way, to talk about the Phillies. Haven't really had a lot to talk about the Phillies all summer long, but now let's give credit where credit's due. They become an exciting team to watch. Major League Baseball, one game this afternoon at Fenway. The Red Sox lead it over the A's 2-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning and still have a threat going. And the Cardinals lead the Reds 4-1 in the bottom of the fifth inning. Those are the two games going on right now. Actually, there's another one. White Sox lead Detroit 10-3 in the bottom of the sixth inning. Then Arizona and Colorado play a game at 3:40. Everything else is under the lights, including the Phillies and the Marlins.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We'll get to our high school roundtable in a moment. And then we'll follow it up at 4:06 with Georgia State head football coach Sean Elliott. And then at 6:05 this evening, Russ Rose to be followed by James Franklin on the Penn State Coaches Show. So plenty going on today. And plenty of people to talk to of interest across the board. Let's get to this day in sports history. Now, it's interesting. I mentioned yesterday in 1971 the formation of the World Hockey Association. It's amazing what new leagues, if they can get a little bit of a toehold, what they can do to change existing leagues and get them into a different realm. The WHA, I'll tell you the biggest thing the WHA did, besides add more Canadian markets, which was important, but they also brought in a lot of European players, which then expanded down the road the footprint for the NHL. We're now, look at the NHL now. You have European players, Canadian players, American players. The WHA was really big on opening the door to all of that. 1916, Christy Mathewson, then with the Reds, won his 373rd career game. It was the only victory he earned for a team other than the New York Giants in his 17-year career. 1959, the $32 million aqueduct operated by New York Racing Association opened. Denny McClain, baseball's first 30-game winner in 34 years, did this on this date, 1968, when they beat the Oakland A's. Willie Horton had a big game that day. And Denny McClain, we had him on the show 2 years ago, as a matter of fact. Very interesting to talk to. Bob Brunley of the Giants tied a major league record when he committed four errors in one inning in 1986. Not good. Toronto Blue Jays set a record with 10 home runs when they beat the Orioles 18-3 in 1987. Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. back-to-back home runs off California Angels pitcher Kirk McCaskill in the first round, and the first inning, I should say. The Angels won the game 7-5. 1994, the 34th day of the player strike, they announced that the season was over. Final days of the regular season canceled. Owners voted 26-2 in favor of ending the season. No World Series for the first time since 1994. And they turned off a segment of fans that never came back. That's a look at this day in sports history. All right, Milton is going to be playing at Danville coming up this week. Steve Williams joins us. Steve, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back. Great to hear you.
Thank you, Steve. Same to you.
All right. So let's do plus and minus here. Let's start with plus. Through a couple of weeks of this season, what are you seeing as potential pluses they can build upon?
Well, they've got a good passing game. Phil Davis, a junior quarterback, has shown an ability. He's not afraid to throw the ball downfield, and he does it with a good deal of accuracy. They've got some pretty good athletic receivers, and that's really been the big plus in their whole game.
All right, let's get to the negative now. Where is in this building process, and it's a building process, where are they lagging behind right now?
Defense, no doubt about it. They've given up some big scores in losses, 54, 34, and 41. It at times has looked like there isn't any defense on the field. So that's the area that they really, really have to work on.
Now, you have to play the style of offense that you think is the best way to play based on your personnel. Are they scoring at times, and this is really bad to say, but are they scoring too fast sometimes and the defense isn't off the field long enough?
No, that's not the case. They could score a lot more. One of the problems that they've had over the last couple of years is scoring inside the red zone. Their percentage is not real good, and it's not real good this year either. They are scoring on longer plays, and again on a lot of pass plays, but it seems like once they get inside that red zone, they've got some trouble. They got a running game in gear 2 weeks ago. Last week, they kind of got away from it and never really got anything going, so I think that would help them a lot.
Yeah. What about the playing from behind? They play from behind a lot. How mentally wearing is that, even with a new staff?
It's got to be tough on those kids. The thing that I'm seeing, though, is that they are sticking it out. There's not a lot of, when you see stuff like that, especially with high school kids, you'll see dirty behind the back stuff or just giving up or things like that. And we're not seeing that. These kids are trying. A lot of young kids, they're out there and they're trying to make the best of it. But they're not giving up, and that's what I like to see.
Steve, what makes the matchup with Danville tough?
Well, it's not as much of a rivalry game as Warrior Run and Lewisburg, but they are adjoining school districts, and Danville has had their number the last couple of years. Now, they're going over to Danville to play in Danville's relatively new stadium. They're going to be the second game on the new turf, so they get some really good field position or field conditions against Danville. Danville comes in at 3-0, and there's actually quite a psychological battle going on today in the paper in the preview, where Danville's coach Jim Kaiser says he's really unhappy with his team and he may have to make some big changes, and they're not good enough to overlook Milton. So, you know, the kind of stuff that coaches hang up in locker rooms. But keep in mind, they are 3-0 and they've got a very tough defense.
Steve, always a pleasure. The game's on WMLP with your quality broadcast on Friday night. We appreciate the time.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right. Steve Williams joining us. Again, that's on WMLP tomorrow night at 7. 6:30 will be the airtime. Where do you want to go to next? You want to go to Greg next, or do you want to go to Pat next?
Yeah, we can go to Greg next. Sure.
Let's go to Greg next. It'll be Lewisburg in action at Jersey Shore. Greg, feeling a little bit better about what you're seeing from Lewisburg right now?
Yeah, I think they're starting to establish an identity. The coach wanted to establish a running game. Last week they ran for close to 300 yards against Milton. He's learning his personnel. He's made some changes offensively and defensively. Again, that's something a first-year coach has to do. He has to learn, you know, his personnel and what they're capable of doing.
All right, well, then that brings this up, because I've talked about this on a collegiate level with a guy like JT Barrett, for example. Square peg, round hole syndrome. Is this something Lewisburg's fighting a little bit? And, you know, the coach has a style he wants, but is it a little square peg, round hole based on the people he has?
I don't think so. I think what it was is, we talked about this earlier in the season. In college, they have spring practice. So the coach comes in, a new coach comes in. He has spring practice to get to know his personnel, his players,
right,
not just lifting weights and, you know, and doing drills. In high school, they don't have that in Pennsylvania. He saw the kids in the weight room. He saw the kids running drills. But they had one scrimmage. They had a, you know, a week of practice and a scrimmage. He didn't get to see what he needed to see in that scrimmage in terms of, could I play, could this kid play this position? He wasn't moving a lot of kids around. Now that he's seen what they're doing in the first three games of competition, plus the scrimmage, he knows what kids are capable of doing. And so he's moved a fullback to tight end. He's moved a lineman back to fullback. You know, so he's adjusting to his personnel that he has. Are they fitting his scheme? Yes, but he's also adjusted his coaching somewhat. He's running a multi-offense. He's running a wing T. He's running a spread. He's running a power I. So he has a lot of different formations and stuff that he's showing people, and he's adjusting his play calling and his scheme to what the personnel is.
What about the matchup this week at Jersey Shore? What are some of the things you're interested in seeing in this one, and what problems will Jersey Shore bring to the table?
Well, they are probably the most diversified offense that Lewisburg's going to see this year. I mean, they've thrown for 670 yards this year already, 9 touchdown passes, and they have a running back that's run for over, well, close to 500 yards in 3 games. So offensively, they're averaging for a high school team over 400 yards a game, which is, like I said, something that Lewisburg does rarely sees in our league, in our competition. And they're athletic. Their biggest kid is 235, so they're not going to kill you with size, but they are quick, they're athletic, and they're very aggressive.
Greg, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. It's going to be on 100.9 The Valley at 7 o'clock tomorrow night with a 6:30 airtime.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. Always enjoy the conversation. Pat O'Brien joins us now. Coming up tomorrow night on Eagle 107, it'll be Selins Grove hitting the road to play at Shikellamy. It is a rivalry game right there in the backyard. Pat, it seems like Selins Grove gets better every week. Did they get better again this week?
I think the part that they got better at is on the defensive side. We weren't sure exactly how good the defense was yet, because they weren't really tested too much the first two games. They weren't tested necessarily the Shemokin's ability to move the ball down the field, but the way that they got pressure on them, the way that they were able to contain their speed, force a couple turnovers, get some tackles for loss, those types of things really showed up. So I think that's where they got much better at, and really got to Shemokin and ended up shutting them out 20-0. First shutout they had since 2014 when they shut out Montoursville. So that's where they got a lot better. They had to play the entire game for the first time, so conditioning's gotten better. So it sets them up for an opportunity this week against Shikellamy.
What did it do for their confidence that they won it a different way this time?
I think it, like I said, from a defensive side, because you have new guys playing. You got Bainey on the defensive line. They had a transfer come in, and Clayton Cheesley. We weren't sure about, you know, their contribution because of the lack of playing for a full game, but I think they feel more confident. But it goes along with guys who are very confident and have reason to be, when you think of a Tony Dressler, Adam Ritter, along with Hunter Croman. Those types of guys have already led the way, but you got guys who had not played a lot, feeling a lot better about themselves now after playing that full game and pitching that shutout.
Pat, we have so many people that travel along the way and listen to this show because I know they tell me, look, I travel a lot from Harrisburg. I listen to the show all the time. I'm Interstate 80. I always pick up the show and listen all the time. So for those who are not from the area and are listening in their car right now and listening to the show, explain the rivalry of Shikellamy and Sealands Grove to them.
Well, it goes way, way back, long before I was around. I'm not originally from the area, but I got a full taste of it over the 9 years that I've been covering Shikellamy and Sealands Grove. And the big thing that people remind me of, Shikellamy at one point ruled the rivalry and dominated Sealands Grove through many of the years. And then it got to a point where Sealands Grove was dominating the rivalry. They're just so close. These kids know each other. This day and age, they know them better than they ever did because of all the outlets and the different opportunities that they play, different sports and different things. So it just becomes that game. It becomes a game you circle on the calendar. And now that the teams have become closer and competitive-wise, this rivalry has grown to another level. You add the element of Derek Hicks and Todd Tilford are brother-in-laws. So you add in the off-season conversation at the beach and at the family reunions and someone getting getting the word up on the other guy, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, this goes back in names, you know, Mike Bowman and Bartosik and Corey Briggs and Ryan Kaiser. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And this week is just different than any other week that you experience in both these guys' schedules.
And when you take a quick look at Shikellamy or you talk to the Sealands Grove coaches about Shikellamy, what have they said?
Well, it all starts and ends with Gabe Tilford. He is running at the quarterback position, and he hasn't put up the numbers that would blow you off the charts from either passing or rushing, but when you combine them together, and you're talking 537 combined yards, 4 touchdowns, but for him, I tell you, Steve, it's on the defensive side, and he shined last week. He had 3 defensive touchdowns, a fumble recovery for touchdowns, and 2 interceptions for a touchdown. He got to Sealands Grove defense a year ago running the ball exclusively with a couple touchdowns. So that's where it starts and ends for him. And then he is led by his brother, who actually had a touchdown reception a week ago that led the way for them offensively. He's averaging almost 27 yards a carry in Lucas Tilford. So, and he has 3 touchdowns. So between those two guys, they are the ones that are marked on the, you know, on the play chart to make sure we do something with them defensively.
7 o'clock tomorrow night on Eagle 107 with Pat and Ryan. 6 o'clock will be the airtime. And on News Radio 1070 WKOK, it'll be 7 o'clock the kick, 6:30 the airtime with Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort. As always, thanks so much, Pat. Appreciate it. Have a great broadcast tomorrow night.
I appreciate it. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Look forward to it, Pat. Pat O'Brien joining us. And so, once again, here's the rundown for you. It'll be Lewisburg playing at Jersey Shore. That will be on 100.9 The Valley at 7 tomorrow night, a 6:30 airtime. Also coming up, it'll be Milton on the road playing at Danville. That's on WMLP beginning at 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime. And then the backyard rivalry between Sealands Grove playing at Shikellamy. That'll be 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK. 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6 o'clock the airtime on Eagle 107. And after the game on Eagle 107, Sean will be there with all the scores and highlights. All right, that's our high school roundtable for the week. Coming up, we will take a look at Georgia State football with head coach Sean Elliott. Later this evening, we'll have Russ Rose and James Franklin on the Penn State Coaches Show from 6:05 to 7, all here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Lincoln continues to make American luxury affordable. Sunbury Motors Lincoln has 2017 Lincoln MKZs starting at $39,930 for finance for 0% financing for 60 months or 1.9% for 72 months. Another brand new Lincoln at Sunbury Motors Lincoln under $40,000 is the 2017 Lincoln MKZ. SMC has the Lincoln MKZ starting at $39,995. Sunbury Motors has been satisfying more customers at
and selling more cars since 1915. And the time is now to see just how remarkable the entire Lincoln lineup is. At Sunbury Motors Lincoln, you can buy a $47,000 Lincoln MKX for only $43,715. American luxury is affordable. Do yourself a favor and head out to Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburylincoln.com.
Financing with Lincoln AFS with approved credit, tax and tax extra. Offers end 9/30/2017. See dealer for details.
All right, great to have the high school roundtable on a Thursday. Get everybody up to date on what we're doing here. It'll be Sealands Grove at Shikellamy tomorrow. Milton is at Danville and Lewisburg at Jersey Shore. And again, this is how you can find them. WMLP will have the Milton game at Danville tomorrow night at 7, 6:30 the airtime. Lewisburg at Jersey Shore on 100.9 the Valley, 7 o'clock the kick, 6:30 the airtime. And then, of course, the good old-fashioned backyard scrap between Shikellamy and Sealands Grove. The Braves, the home team. The game will be at Shikellamy tomorrow night at 7. You'll hear it on Eagle 107 beginning at 6 o'clock with the 7 o'clock kickoff here on News Radio 1070 WKOK at 7 o'clock with 6:30 the airtime. Sean Carey on Eagle 107 after the game with all the scores and highlights.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
No, thank you. It's shows like what you do separate local radio.
Well, it's very, very kind of you. And also, we've had a chance to bring in Cody Jarrett from SusquehannaValleySports.com. He's had a chance to cover some of the games that we haven't had a chance to go do play-by-play at live. So he's been a great addition to game night. And, of course, we'll be tapping into his information, especially next month when the remember those days when the suit would try to figure out the district numbers, the points and all that? So that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to bring Cody in. He can handle all that stuff pretty easy.
Yeah, good, because we finally recovered from that ratings disaster. All right.
That's the first thing I thought of at the jump. That Cody takes care of all that stuff. I don't know how he does it, but he's able to keep it straight.
Fabulous. The difference is he does it after week 4 or 5.
Yeah.
As opposed to after week 1, here's how it sets up. There's 9 weeks left, dog. All right.
Yeah, Cody, tomorrow night, he'll be covering another rivalry game tomorrow night in Lycoming County. You got the showdown for the old shoe between Montgomery and Muncie. Those two teams are both off to terrific starts, especially Muncie coming off their first district championship last year since 1989. They're undefeated so far out of the gate.
Absolutely. Sean Elliott, Georgia State head football coach, in the next half hour. And then an open line the final half hour. And at 6:05 this evening, Russ Rose will lead things off, and then it'll be James Franklin. So the next three guests that you hear on this radio station will be Sean Elliott, Georgia State head football coach, Russ Rose, Penn State women's volleyball coach, and James Franklin, Penn State head football coach. So between now and 7 o'clock, that's what you have. And there'll be a lot of people asking questions of James this evening. And, of course, with Russ. Always great to get Russ on. Russ's team has not played at home yet. They've not played at home yet. They're 7-0 for the 18th time in his career. They haven't been at home until this weekend. They finally get that. Tonight, Bengals and Texans. Both of those teams really struggled in the opener. And for Houston, Deshaun Watson gets the start tonight, and Brian Cushing starts the first of a 10-game suspension for PEDs. So in Houston, just when you thought life was getting a little bit better, they got J.J. Watt back. They're feeling better about where they're going, what they're doing. They made the playoffs in spite of no J.J. Watt last year. They made the playoffs in spite of really no quarterback last year. Last week, Jacksonville went into Houston and sliced and diced them. Well, that's okay, because the Ravens went into Cincinnati and sliced and diced them. So two teams that really need a win tonight are playing on Thursday Night Football, the Texans and the Bengals, coming up this evening. Coming up, Sean Elliott, head football coach at Georgia State, in the next half hour. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, as always, on this beautiful Thursday, heading toward a big weekend. A lot of great high school football tomorrow night. The Nittany Lions on Saturday night. Sean Elliott next, head coach Georgia State, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.